I'm going to invite you to go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. And as you know, most of you that are here, part of the congregation, we're going through the book of 1 Peter in our regular Sunday morning teaching. This month, however, we're going to be doing some special Sundays. But, you know, I was thinking about this Sunday and I was just praying and saying, God, what do you want us to start with this new year? And I was looking in 1 Peter and thinking maybe we should start with chapter 2, verse 1, and having the freedom to do this and just praying. I kept going back and back to this passage here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 all the way through 17. And we're going to read this passage here and just to spend some time looking at what the Bible says here and in some other parts of the Bible. But it says here, "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I want to spend some time just talking about the wisdom that we need from God to discern the time and to follow His call. And as I was thinking of why this, you know, and what are we doing this year and the blessings that we have in the past year, the privilege that we were His children and we're sharing His grace and His blessing, what we have received from God. It also made me wonder, what are the challenges that we will face this year? And one of the biggest challenges that we're going to have is, how are we going to approach our calling as Christians in the midst of the busyness of life? And the reason that I'm mentioning this is because every time, I don't know if you notice this, but every time you see somebody out in the street or you meet somebody, you ask them, "How you doing?" And you already know what they're going to tell you. We're busy. Very, very busy. Have you noticed that? Everybody's going through so many things and so busy. And, you know, we went through the year and seems like we were waiting for that moment when the snow melt. And, wow, great. You know, summer is here. All of a sudden, we were in the 4th of July fireworks. And then we were getting ready for snow and celebrating Christmas. And here we are in 2019. And you talk to people and, you know, you go to the store and you see them. And sometimes as pastors, this is always the same thing that we experience. "Hey, how are you doing today?" "Good, good, Pastor. I've been so busy. I haven't been able to make it to church in the last couple of weeks, but I want to be there. You know, we're going through so many things and everybody's busy. Everybody's going through so many things. And I thought, Lord, how are we going to approach our calling in the midst of our busyness of life? And in the midst of a culture that is constantly changing, and yet they know less and less of God, and they're departing from the truth of God. And if you think I'm exaggerating, maybe you haven't paid attention to what's going on around you. People is departing from the truth. People is just constantly changing. You know, we live in this culture that is just doing something new and is approaching life in a very rapid way. And we need to ask ourselves, what is our call? What is your call in our lives? And we must be able to define it not according to the culture, not according to the time we have, but according to His will for our lives in the Word of God. That is the call that we have as Christians. So we got to discern the times in which we are, and we are to follow His call. We are to say, God, what are you calling me to do this year? This 2019 in which I'm starting, and I see your blessing in my life and the privilege that you have given me to be called your child, your son, your daughter. What are you calling me to do? And what is your will for my life? And as we go into these verses, you know, look at this chapter. You know, this chapter is a chapter for Christians. If we look at the chapter, we start by reading in verse 1, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." So this is speaking to His children, and we are to be imitators of God. We are to walk in love, verse 2, "as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." So we are to be living for God. And then He goes on and talks about the things of this world, sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness and things that should not even be named among us as is proper to saints. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. I mean, there is so much that is going on. We are to walk as children of God, but there is a tendency to do what is evil and to be tempted by the world and to fall into temptation. So how are we to live? And it says here in verse 13, but when anything is exposed by the light. So he's exposing the nature of man. He's exposing our call through the word of God. And he says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So we gotta be awake. The first thing we see here is we are called to be awake, to wake up or to stay awake, to discern what's going on in the midst of our culture, in the midst of where we live, to see what's going on around us and to say, God, what are you trying to show me here? In order to see any situation in life with an accurate perspective as Christians, it is necessary to see it in the light of God in His Word. There's no other place for us to find direction, discernment, understanding, wisdom, but in the Word of God. Not in the culture, not in how I feel, not in what my heart is telling me, not in my emotions, not in what Facebook or Twitter is saying or the media. I gotta go to the Word of God and I gotta say, God, what is your will for my life right now? Because the times in which I am living are evil. I see the culture departing from the truth. I see that I have a tendency to just be asleep. To think that everything is all right. To be superficial. To act like nothing's going on in the world. Okay? But I have to be focused. I have to be focused. I have to discern what's going on around me. Now look at this. The Bible warns us over and over that in the last days, which I believe we're in the last days, look around you. All the things that are happening. If you look at the prophecies, I want to just say this before I go on. 50 years ago, I was reading some stuff and listening to some of the commentaries about the end times and all this. And if you look at the prophecies 50, 60 years, 70 years, even 80 years before the foundation of Israel as a nation, you would have to scratch. You would have to go very deep and find one sign of the last times, of the end times, of the coming of Jesus Christ. But if you look at what's going on in the world right now and compare it to the Word of God, or actually read the Word of God and compare what's going on in the world, you see there are many, many things that are looking like that we're living in the end times. Now, when we see that, the Bible over and over warns us that there will be times of difficulty. Look in 2 Timothy here, chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3:1. And look at the Word of God. Very clear. The Bible tells us this and we read it and it's so clear what's going on. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Look at this passage and it warns us about the times to come, times of difficulty. Now, there's a bracket right there, and it says in verse 2, people will be lovers of self. That's kind of the beginning of this culture that is going to be living in the end times. And look at the end of chapter 4. First, look at verse 2, lovers of self, and then verse 4 on the end, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And if you look at these two things, it's like a pipe, a sewer pipe, that is holding all this trash inside, all this sewage. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous. And all these things that we see in a culture that is just loving themselves to death and love pleasures rather than anything else. And this is the dangerous thing. They have an appearance of God. They are inside a culture that calls themselves Christians. Many times we see this even inside the church, inside the leadership of the church, and it doesn't say, go try to change these people. No, it says, avoid such people. Because they are navigating, they are traveling with the flag of Christianity, but really they are pirates. They are not Christians. They are faking it. They are hypocrites. Get away from them. Depart from them. And this is the culture that is going to be taken in the last time. So in these times, there will be spiritual sleepiness. So you see someone who's living as a Christian, but yet they don't even know what's going on in their hearts and what's motivating what they do. And it says right there, they are just completely loving themselves and thinking they are godly before the presence of the Lord. So spiritual sleepness, indifference, and apostasy inside the church. Matthew 24 verse 10 says the same thing in a different way. Matthew 24 verse 10 through 13. Look at the environment. Look at the things that are taking place in the last days as Jesus is prophesying and warning his disciples. Verse 10 starts like this. Then many will fall away. That is a very heavy warning. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So deception is taking place. People is hating each other. And division is taking place and betraying is taking place. And false prophets are just arising and leading many people astray with their doctrine. And because of lawlessness in the world, you know, a culture that says nothing is wrong and call evil good and good evil, lawlessness increases, then the love of many will grow cold. In family, in relationships, in regard to God, whatever they are, the love is growing cold. But as the one who endures to the end, he will be protected, he will be saved. But he will have to endure, he will have to know what's going on. So we have to be awake. And as we look at life, we face constant pressures to be more content with the world and more indifferent to the things of God. I mean, as the time goes by and we look at technology and culture and ideas and education and the lifestyle of everybody, the pressure is, be content with the world and be more indifferent to the things of God. Nothing is going to happen. It's okay. Yes, there is pressure for more productivity in this world, but also for more entertainment. More pressure for responsibilities, but also for more recreation. More pressure for the things of the world, for more of yourself. But altogether, if you look at it, is leading us away from the heart of God. You know, I was thinking of this and I was just meditating throughout the week, and one word comes to mind is distractions. Distractions. There are so many distractions in our path of righteousness that we have to be aware and we gotta focus. I remember the Bible says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit to be in the kingdom of heaven, to serve in the kingdom of heaven. And I remember I was thinking about this morning. I remember when I had the blessing, okay, to work with my dad in the field. And I was working behind a horse, behind two horses with the plow. So that verse is very real to me, okay? No tractor, no nice equipment. It was just a horse and the plow in my hands. And I remember being probably 12, 13 years old when I was able to handle that plow. And I remember my dad teaching me, he says, there's a secret, son, to have a straight line in the field. There's a secret. And I used to wonder how he did it. He had those lines so straight, then, you know, the horse is always moving. There are rocks in the field that make you go one side or another one. You know, there are sometimes a steepness and you tend to go to the lower place. And he says, when you get in the field and you're going to start, you're not going to start on the edge of the field. You're not going to start on the other edge. You're going to start right on the center of the field. You're going to choose the best place for you to go straight. The longest line you're going to make. And this is the only line where you don't want to stop. From the moment you start to the moment you end, you do not want to stop in the middle. There has to be no distractions. So if you have to go to the bathroom first. If you have to drink water, drink water. You got to make sure your horse is already kind of in shape, already kind of warm up, so he's not going too fast or too slow. You cannot stop, but he says there's another thing. He says if you look at the fence on the other side, you're going to lose your line. If you look at a tree on the other side of the field, you're going to lose your line. So you're going to look at the highest point in the mountain. There are some mountains where we live. You're going to look at the highest point in the mountain, because regardless of how far you're going, 1 mile or 2 miles, and this was only like 300 yards, he said, you look at that mountain, and the mountain is going to always lead the direction in which you should go. Don't look at the horse, don't look at the plow, don't look at the ground. Look at the peak of the mountain and stay focused right there. And when you get to the end, you're going to know, because it's going to be hard on the side of the field. And then you can look back and see that line that you draw on the field. And you know what it takes? It takes focus for Christians. It takes focus. It's the same thing. That's why Jesus uses that illustration. It takes focus. You gotta be intentional. You gotta know that things are changing around you. You gotta know that there are distractions, and many of these distractions are good things. They're work. You know, they're recreation with the family. And sometimes there are many, many things that get in our way, and we have to say, you know, this is good, this is beneficial for Benny, but this is not what God is calling me to do. I'm gonna finish the message eventually with a line here that I was thinking about. And I want to say it right now, because really God has given us the time to do what He called us to do. Think about this. God has given us the time to do what He called us to do. Not to do whatever you want to do, or whatever is good, or whatever looks good, or whatever everybody's doing. God gave you the time to do what He wants you to do. So this is what discernment is. Get down on your knees. Look at the Word of God and say, God, what are you calling me to do this year? I may be very productive. I can make a lot of money. I can build another house. I can have many friends. But what are you calling me to do? And there might have to be a time in your life this week, this month, when you say, you know what? I wanted it to do this, but this is not what God is calling me to do. I got to wake up. I got to understand what's going on in the world. Think about this. Hal was praying, he was saying, thank you, Lord, for those that went on to be with you already. There are many people that didn't make it through 2018. They're not here anymore. And praise God for those that went on to be with the Lord. But there were many people who passed away without hope this past year. Do you realize that? There were many fathers and mothers who were looking for a time to go back to church, to get back to the Word. They were saying, yes, I know I haven't been in church. Yes, I know I haven't been reading the Word. Yes, I know I gotta get back to the Lord, but I'm so busy right now. And they had not that opportunity to get back to the things that really matter. Don't let this happen to you. Don't let this happen to you. If you are away from the Lord, if you're not spending enough time in the Word, if you're living by going to church once a weekend and that's it in your Christian life, let me tell you, you need to wake up and you need to realize what's going on in your spiritual walk. The Bible says clearly, it says, if your arm is a stumbling block for you to go to heaven, cut it off. If your eye is a stumbling block for you to go to heaven, take it out. It's clear. Because it is better to go to heaven without an arm or an eye than to hell with the full members of your body. That's a heavy warning in the Word of God. Don't be casual about the things of God. Don't be casual. Now, let's continue here. You know, when we run in all directions, in the end, it will lead us to frustration and to spiritual sleepiness. So we got to be focused. And if we are to be focused, and if we are to be awake and discerning what's going on, the Word of God, Jesus Christ, is the light. John 3:19 says, the light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Now, obviously, this is talking about those that are not accepting Jesus because they love what they do in darkness. And yes, they saw the light, they knew Jesus came, but they say, you know what? I really love what I'm doing here. I know this is bad, but I want to change later. But look at the next part here. It says, for everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that he may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. As a Christian, there's a tendency to hide our struggles. There's a tendency to hide ourselves in things that we do out there. And what we have to do is we have to let our life be exposed to the Lord. Exposure. We read that in Ephesians. You know, it's shameful to speak of those things that they do in secret. Ephesians 5:12. But we are to expose them. We are to shed light with the Word of God to what's going on in the world. It's so hard to confront sin these days. Have you noticed that? It's so hard to preach the reality of what a sinful culture is. You know, people don't want to hear what's wrong in their lives. People want to hear nice and soft and smooth things that make them feel good. And when you confront sin in the lives of people, people get offended. But let me tell you, you got to start with yourself, and you got to be exposed to the Word of God, and you got to look yourself in the mirror of the Word, and you got to say, Lord, what do you want to change in me? What do you want to change in me? You know, sometimes I open the Word of God and I say, wow, what a beautiful verse. I hope she gets it. Honey, look at this verse here. You know, I want her to read that verse because I think she needs to change something in her life. You know, sometimes I want to grab a verse and, oh, this is great for such and such family. I'm going to get a message around this and I'm going to preach about it because, you know, they need to hear this. They don't even show up to church, you know. That's not my call. My call is to know what God is calling me to share. And the call of God for me is to look in the Word and to expose my life before the Word of God and to say, God, change this situation in my life. Change this situation in my life. You know, you gave your life to the Lord. You come to church on Sunday. You call yourself Christian. That's not a big deal. You got to change. You got to read the Word of God. You got to grow. You got to walk with the Lord. You got to be awake completely. There is a tendency in Christians to let go, to quit fighting, to stop growing. Look at these scriptures here in Revelation 3. It's not in your notes. Revelation 3, 1 and 6. And when I share these, you know, I apply these verses to my life. And I want to be very honest with you here. This chapter is a heavy chapter for me. But, you know, I want to be as true to the Word of God as I can this morning. And also be challenged by it in my own life, but also challenge you. When I read this, I said, God, I don't think I can share this, you know. But honestly, you know, going through the book of Revelation, and maybe you did last year, it's amazing that all the churches in Asia, most of them, six of them, needed correction. They were the church of Christ. And they needed correction. So what makes me think that I, Samuel, or we as Winter Park Christian Church, do not need any correction? What makes me think that we're okay altogether because this is the place where I am? And I want to just be sober-minded and invite you to read this and say, God, is there a tendency in me, is there a tendency in our church to be casual, to be superficial about your things? Look at this word, verse 1. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, the words of him who has the seven spirit of God and the seven stars. I know your works. This is a church that works. You have the reputation of being alive. There's a reputation too. Fame. But you are dead. This is the church of Christ. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. So sleepness is taking place in this church. Deadness, there's weakness here, and it's about to die spiritually. And look at what he says. The reason is, I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. God does not bless mediocrity. You need to know this right now. If you have one foot inside and the other one is outside and you think I'm doing okay, let me tell you, God does not bless mediocrity. He wants you all in. He wants you to say, God, I am yours, and I want to surrender everything to you. And if you're asking my finances, here they are. If you're asking my family, here it is. If you have a gift for me or a talent that you have given me, and I'm not exercising it for you, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. It goes on, it says, remember then what you received and heard. What a blessing, the things that we have received. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. This is the condition of the church in the end times. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is coming like a thief and people will not even realize there's a remnant that will be walking with God. There's a remnant that will be passionate and zealous and have the anointing of God in their hearts. There's a remnant. Are you in that remnant? Is the anointing of God in your life? And don't excuse yourself with saying, well, my dad was a pastor, or he was a preacher, or I grew up in such church, or I came from this movement, or I've been a Christian 30, 40, 50 years. Remember, you have to endure to the end. You have to stay focused. You have to finish the course with gladness, with joy, but serving God and knowing that you're growing in the presence of the Lord. Yet, it says, you have still a few names in Sardis. People who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And obviously, they're not worthy for their works, but actually for the blood of Jesus Christ. But they are obedient. They are surrendering. What I see here is someone who's alive, someone who needs to be awake, someone who needs to be sensitive to the Lord, and someone who needs to be corrected. To be corrected. Now, let's jump here to the church of Laodicea in verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Again, same thing. God does not bless mediocrity. For you say, I'm rich. And look at the insensitivity here. Look at the deception inside the church. The church thinks they're okay. They say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourselves and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Discernment. Discernment. Awareness of what's going on. What is my condition? Realizing, according to the word of God, our condition. And it says in verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. God wants to have a relationship with us. It's all about love. You know, Christianity boils down to two things. Loving God and loving our brothers and sisters, our family, relationships. Having those strong relationships. And if we are in the presence of God, we will know what God wants us to be doing, but also we'll be able to love others around us. Now, look at this in verse 21. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We are called to be conquerors. We are called to be victorious. And God reproves us and disciplines us because he loves us. He loves us. He wants us to be strong, to be close to him. Now, why I choose these two passages is this reason. There is a tendency to think all is well. All is well. And sometimes, you know, we read the word, sometimes we hear the message and we say, well, I mean, I know, yes, there's a couple things that I got to change here. All is well. Don't worry. I mean, I'm going to be better tomorrow. Let me tell you, take heed when you listen to the word of God. Take heed and say, God, where am I? Be honest with yourself. Be exposed to the truth. That's the first point here. Now, as we go on, we look another thing here in Ephesians 5. Going back to Ephesians 5. Now, we're going to go to verse 15 and 16. And read, not only a call to awake, to be awake, but second thing, a call to diligently seek for the best. Look at the verse. Look carefully, then. If you're awake, if you have come back to sensitivity, if you understand what God is calling you to do, then look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. You have a year that is coming. We don't know how long we're going to live. You don't know. Nobody knows. But as long as you are awake and alive and moving, are you willing to do the best, to seek for the best, and to apply yourselves to the best? In this passage, there's a clear contrast between someone who is completely awake by the light, walking with diligence, wisdom, purpose, and discernment, as opposed to someone who is completely asleep, naive, unwise, aimless, and foolish, not knowing or acting in what the will of the Lord is for their life. That's what we read in these verses. Be wise. Be looking carefully, not naively, but carefully what's going on. Make the best use of the time. Be an initiator. Be someone who is able to discern what's going on and apply what's right, because days are evil. This is our time for battle. If you're a Christian, you know, this is a time for battle. That's what Christianity is. A time where we have to be awake, where we have to be fighting, where we have to be aware, and there's a war that rages against the spiritual life. I was thinking of this, you know, a couple weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago. I thought there is joy in heaven when someone surrenders their life and becomes a Christian, right? Praise the Lord. But think about this. Think about the haters, the hatred, the anger of the evil one when someone starts walking with the Lord. They have one thing in mind. I'm going to get him back to the world. I'm going to make him think he's not worthy. I'm going to make him hear that he's not a Christian. God does not love him. There's no worth in being a Christian. Come back. This is a better life here. And I'm going to put all kinds of destruction in his life. And I'm going to tempt him with evil. And I'm going to just fence him so that he doesn't have a way to go but back to the world. And God is bigger than the enemy. But for some reason, God lets us be tempted and tested here in the earth. And the Bible is clear that only those who discern and apply themselves to the best are the ones that are Christians. Are you one of them? Are you in the road? Sometimes people ask me, is such and such person Christian? And it seems to me like the more I read the Word of God, the less I know. I say, well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, he says he's a Christian. Well, I know that, yes. He goes to church. Well, yes, I do. I do know that too. But look at him. Well, you got to ask him. You got to pray for that person. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know. We sometimes let ourselves be guided by appearances, but we got to know the Word of God is the truth. And this is in our personal battle. You know, if we are in a time for battle, we got to fight. And the first thing we have to fight is naiveness. Because he talks to people who is asleep here. People who is not awake. People who is not consistent. People who doesn't really know what's going on. Naiveness. The Bible says the simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thought to his steps. The simple believes everything. Everything is okay. No, nothing is going on. But the prudent gives thought to his steps. And not only this, the Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but his end is the way of death. There is a way that seems okay to people. So that's why you have to fight naiveness in your life. Look carefully. Look carefully, you know. The word there, carefully, is diligently. Look diligently with your mind and your body and your emotions on it, your passions on it. Look carefully to what's going on. Fight naiveness in your life. Read the Word of God. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe everything you hear out there. Don't believe everything I say, for that matter. Go back to your house and open the Word of God and say, is this really what God is speaking to us right now? Don't believe everything Pastor Doug says either. Really? Believe this. Believe the Word of God. You know, if my wife believes everything I say to her, believe me, we'll be in big trouble. You know. But she challenged me. She tested what I said. You know, and sometimes she prayed for me knowing that I was not really truthful. She prayed for me and God exposed my failures and my struggles and my fears, you know, and my anger and my sins. And that's an amazing thing, you know. We got to watch for, not only for ourselves, but for other Christians around us. That's really, we are so naive. We live in a time where we're so naive. And I'm not saying go doubting everybody and every word everybody says, but go back to the Word of God. Pray for people, you know. Fight this Christian life that God has given you. And also fight deception. Deceitfulness is the second thing that I see here. He's talking to dead in verse 14. He's talking to unwise in verse 15. And if you look to the Word of God in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Look what it says here. Do not be deceived. Just a week ago, I think Pastor Doug said this. He said, God means what he says, and he says what he means. Right? God is true to his word. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. This is the law of God. This is the spiritual law of God. Let me tell you something. Whatever you put in the ground, whatever you sow, you will reap. That is the law of God. If you put apples, you will receive apples. If you put thorns, you will reap thorns. Okay? So don't be confused when you're doing what's not the will of the Lord and you receive corruption and hate and confusion and frustration because you're not walking with God. How do you want to go? Yes, I know, but God is merciful. Yes, He is merciful, but whatever you sow, you will reap. That's the first thing of this verse right here. Now, the second thing of this is that if you put one grain on the ground, you're not going to get back one grain, are you? Maybe 12, maybe 100, maybe few hundreds. You put a grain of corn in the ground, and you get two stalks, and from each stalk, you get more than 300 grains of corn. That's what the law of the Bible is right now, here in the New Testament, where we see the law of God, the spiritual law. And all it is, the third thing that you got to realize is, when you sow something, you're not going to reap right away. It may take years, 10 years, 20 years. And that's also a great promise from God. When you do right, when you endure, when you do what God is calling you to do, you will see the results of your work and of your labor. God will bless you. It may take time, but surely the fruit will come. Look at the word of God here. And in verse 8, again, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from his own flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good. We know what happens to those that sow. For in due season, there's a time we will reap if we do not give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You had a lot of challenges last year. You may have bigger challenges this year. Don't give up. The grace of God is there. The mercy of God is there. And also His blessing is there in your life. And God will not give you anything that you cannot overcome by His strength and His power. He's going to give you enough so that you depend on Him. That you're not able to go on your own strength. And you have to learn how to depend on God. But when you do that, He's going to keep you in His hands. And it says in verse 10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do not be deceived. Fight deceitfulness. In Ephesians 5, 6, we read it, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And then in Matthew 24, 4 and 5, Jesus told His disciples, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. And they will lead many astray. There's people who's going to be led astray. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 5 says, for the time is coming and it's here. We can see it in the media and YouTube. We can see it in TV. The time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Their own ideals, their own ideas, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, looking carefully and fighting deceitfulness, endure sufferings, because there is suffering inside the kingdom of God to those who want to please the Lord. There is suffering, and do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry, your call. Do what God is calling you to do. Put yourself to these things. So we got to fight deceitfulness. And we got to warn people about it. And then the other thing we have to do if we're going to seek for the best is fight lawlessness, evil. The days are evil. And we see these in Matthew 24, 12, we read it. Because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Love to God, love to people. And then in Matthew 23, 28, it says, so you also hourly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And the reason I want to read this verse is because we tend to hide our lawlessness, our struggles, our failures. We try to say, I'm okay, and to live in hypocrisy. Let me tell you, appearance and image and reputation in our day is a big deal. It's a big deal. We want to look better than we are. But we have to learn to really avoid failures and to avoid sin and to depart from evilness. We struggle with these things. Now, look at the word of God in Proverbs 28, 13. It says, the one who confesses his sin and departs from it will find mercy. And actually the beginning of the verse, it says, but the one who doesn't confess that sin, he will go to worse, to death. So we got to do what is right. We got to be open and exposed to the things that we struggle with, the things that we're not doing right. And we got to say, Lord, is there anything in me that is conforming to the evil of this world? And you got to change. There is victory in Christ over sin. There is victory in Christ over sin. We got to say this. We got to preach this. We got to read this. We got to believe it with all our hearts. And we got to understand God wants us to be victors against sin. He came to save His people from sin. And sometimes we just surrender and we say, well, there's no hope. I tried. Keep fighting. Keep fighting lawlessness in your life and encounter victory in Jesus Christ. Also, we got to find pridefulness. And this is just the flesh in us. Because we tend to be foolish. We tend to be unwise in that naiveness, you know. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:16, and this is Paul talking to Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. And when you, and this is because when you do something that is right, when you take good decisions, when you overcome temptations in your life, and when it seems that you've been walking right, don't be prideful about it. Don't believe you're the amazing thing here. Give grace to God and say, Lord, it is by your grace that I am moving forward. That's why Paul is telling Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching of God. And persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. The Bible says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it doesn't matter how close you are to God. It doesn't matter how strong you've been in the last 2-3 days or in the last 2-3 weeks. There's always a way to be tempted, and there's always an openness there to fall back into sin, into pride, into weakness, into the flesh of yourself. And you know, I mean, I just wanted to say some things that I think we got to fight. But one of them is the enemy. The enemy is waiting for an opportunity. The days are evil. And you know this. In the Bible says that there is deception that is coming and overtaking the whole world. 1 John chapter 4. We know the Antichrist is here. But he will come and deceive the whole world. The whole world is already in his hands except the Christian. But he's coming with greater deception. Okay? And many people will call evil good and good evil. And many people will be led astray, as we're reading. And it seems to me like the enemy is going to have more work to do. And he's doing that. You know, he's always on the clock trying to persuade Christians. You look at Revelation 12. The enemy comes against those that are the saints. And he comes to attack them because he knows he's got little time left. And what we see here is that the devil is always seeking to devour us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, and 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Just like a lion. Think about this. Waiting for that moment to get you in the weakness of your life. In the moment when nobody's watching, when you're angry, when you're desperate for something, and he comes and speaks to your heart. And God sometimes is going to let him do that to test you. But look at the Word of God. In this same passage, I got to hear, resist him firm in your faith. Resist the devil in your faith. Firm. Knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brothers throughout the whole world. There's no difference. Every Christian is going to be tested. And the only way that you have to resist the enemy is with faith. And you have faith today, you know, seek to have faith tomorrow, this evening, to continue believing the Word of God and the promises of God for your life. This is our time for battle. We live in a time where it's unusual to share the struggles, the failures, the setbacks, the regressions. But if we look closely, there are casualties. Fallen brothers and sisters that have got stranded in the deceptions of the world. And we got to warn them. We got to be warned about this. And we got to be aware of the war that rages against Christianity. If we are going to fight for what's the best, you know, we have to seek God and His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to us. Seek the kingdom of God first. Leave everything aside and say, God, I want to start with you today. I want to live for you today. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I want to take you to 1 Peter 4, 2-8. And talking about redeeming our time, living our time godly, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to these, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judging the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. The time that is left, we need to live doing the will of the Lord. Because as we read here, the end of all things is at hand. Be self-controlled. Be sober-minded and pray throughout these things, doing the will of the Lord. So if we are to discern the time and follow His call, we have to do His will. And that's our aim, to do His will. And I want to finish with these two verses in Psalm 127. And I want to just encourage you with this. This is what the Bible says. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For He gives to His beloved sleep. Do the will of the Lord, and God will take care of the rest for you. Believe Him. Believe Him. God blesses us when we do His will. And again, God has given us the time to do what He's called us to do. If you're saying this morning, well, I wish I read more. I wish I pray more. I wish I do the will of the Lord in my life, but I don't have time. Leave everything else that is taking the time away from you to do what God is calling you to do. Do it. Trust Him. And let God bless your life. What's the benefit of staying awake? What's the benefit of going up early and trying to fulfill every little thing and do everything everybody else is doing when you do not have any satisfaction on the end of your day? And you know that something's missing, that relationship with God in your life. Let's bow down and pray to the Lord this morning as our worship team comes. Heavenly Father, what a precious call You have placed in our lives, Lord. What a wonder, Lord, to call ourselves Your children, Lord, and to know that You have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for seating us up in heaven, Lord, in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. Thank You for making us recipients of Your grace in such a big way, Lord. Now the privilege, Lord, is so big because You gave it all for us, Jesus. You paid the price and You opened the doors for us to go and have a relationship with You. But also, Lord, the challenge and the responsibility, Lord, is at hand in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that we'd be discerning the times, aware of what's going on, not casual about Christianity, but faithful to You, Lord. Allow us to see Your word and to walk in it. In Your mighty name, Lord, we want to do Your will. And Lord, if there are many things that we have to change in our lifestyle, give us the strength, the courage to do it, Lord. That You will bless us. In Your mighty name we pray this morning. Amen. Thank You, Lord.